When we got to Bethany, Martha was waiting for us in the street in front of Simon's house. She went right to Joshua, and he held out his arms to embrace her. But when she got to him, she pushed him away. "My brother is dead," she said. "Where were you?"
"I came as soon as I heard."
Maggie went to Martha and held her as they both cried. The rest of us stood around feeling awkward. The two old blind guys, Crustus and Abel, whom Joshua had once healed, came over from across the street.
"Dead, dead and buried 4 days," said Crustus. "He turned a sort of chartreuse at the end."
"Emerald, it was emerald, not chartreuse," said Abel.
"My friend Simon truly sleeps then," Joshua said. Thomas came up and put his hand on Joshua's shoulder.
"No, master, he's dead. Thomas, too, thinks it may have been a hairball. Simon was a leopard, you know."
I couldn't stand it. "He was a leper, you idiot, not a leopard."
"Well, he is dead," shouted Thomas back. "Not sleeping."
"Joshua was being figurative. He knows he's dead."
"Do you guys think you could be just a little more insensitive?" said Matthew, pointing to the weeping sisters.
"Look, tax collector, when I want your 2 shekels, I'll ask, where is he?"
Joshua asked, his voice booming over the sobs and protests. Martha pushed out of her sister's embrace and looked at Joshua.
"He bought a tomb in Kidron," said Martha.
"Take me there. I need to wake my friend."
"Dead," said Thomas. "Dead, dead, dead."
There was a sparkle of hope amid the tears in Martha's eyes.
"Wake him?
Dead as a doornail! Dead as Moses!"
Matthew clamped his hand over Thomas's mouth, which saved me from having to render the twin unconscious with a brick.
"You believe that Simon will rise from the dead, don't you?" asked Joshua.
"In the end, when the kingdom comes and everyone is raised, yes, I believe."
"Do you believe I am who I say I am?"
"Of course."
"Then show me where my friend lies sleeping."
Martha moved like a sleepwalker, her exhaustion and grief driven back just enough for her to lead us up the road to the Mount of Olives and down into the Kidron Valley. Maggie had been deeply shaken by the news of her brother's death as well, so Thomas and Matthew helped her along while I walked with Joshua.
4 days dead, Josh. 4 days. Divine spark or not, the flesh is empty."
"Simon will walk again, if he is but bone," said Joshua.
"Okie dokie, but this has never been one of your better miracles."
When we got to the tomb, there was a tall, thin, aristocratic man sitting outside eating a fig. He was clean-shaven, and his gray hair was cut short like a Roman's. If he hadn't worn the 2-striped tunic of a Jew, I would have thought him a Roman citizen.
"I thought you would come here," he said. He knelt before Joshua. "Rabbi, I'm Joseph of Arimathea. I sent word through your disciple Matthew that I wanted to meet with you. How may I serve?"
"Stand up, Joseph. Help roll away this stone." As with many of the larger tombs carved into the side of the mountain, there was a large flat stone covering the doorway. Joshua put his arms around Maggie and Martha while the rest of us wrestled with the stone. As soon as the seal was broken, I was hit with a stench that gagged me, and Thomas actually lost his supper in the dirt.
"He stinks," said Matthew.
"I thought he would smell more like a cat," said Thomas.
"Don't make me come over there, Thomas," I said. We pushed the stone as far as it would go, then we ran away gasping for fresh air. Joshua held his arms out as if waiting to embrace his friend.
"Come out, Simon Lazarus. Come out into the light."
Nothing but stench came out of the tomb.
"Come forth, Simon. Come out of that tomb," Joshua commanded.
And absolutely nothing happened. Joseph of Arimathea shifted uncomfortably from foot to foot.
"I wanted to talk to you about the dinner at my house before you got there, Joshua."
Joshua held up his hand for silence.
"Simon, damn it, come out of there."
And ever so weakly, there came a voice from inside the tomb.
"No."
"What do you mean, no?
You have risen from the dead. Now come forth. Show these unbelievers that you have risen.
I believe, I said. Convinced me, said Matthew. A no is as good as a personal appearance, as far as I'm concerned, said Joseph of Arimathea. I'm not sure any of us who had smelled the stench of rotting flesh really wanted to see the source. Even Maggie and Martha seemed a little dubious about their brothers coming out.
Simon, get your leprous ass out here, Joshua commanded.
But I'm all icky.
We've all seen icky before, said Joshua. Now come out into the light.
My skin is all green, like an unripe olive.
Olive green, declared Crustus, who had followed us into Kidron.
I told you it wasn't chartreuse.
What the hell does he know? He's dead, said Abel.
Finally, Joshua lowered his arms and stormed into the tomb. I can't believe that you bring a guy back from the dead and he doesn't even have the courtesy to come out.
Whoa! Holy moly!
Joshua came backing out of the tomb, stiff-legged. Very calmly and quietly, he said, We need clean clothes and some water to wash with and bandages. Lots of bandages. I can heal him, but we have to sort of get all of his parts stuck back together first.
Hold on, Simon, Joshua shouted to the tomb. We're getting some supplies. Then I'll come in and heal your affliction.
What affliction? Asked Simon.